You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back, Arizona. It's 8 o'clock Saturday morning. You are tuned in to Rosie on the House, second Saturday of the month. So we're going to call Mr. John Eisenhower, certified arborist, down out of the tree. And as he's climbing down, that's a perfect opportunity for you to get on the line at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you'd like to talk trees, you can also text to 411-923. Or send us an email at info@rosieonthehouse.com. Welcome back, Mr. Eisenhower, and Happy New Year.
Oh, and Happy New Year. And who else do you have with you?
Well, that was the next thing.
Yes, Happy New Year. It's great to be back. And it's great to introduce my friend and colleague, Sarah Maitland, our plant healthcare director, who's joining us in studio this morning to talk trees. And excited that we have a little three of us here to... Four of us, five of us here to enjoy the morning together.
With the amount of years of experience and y'all's profession, you could definitely say, you know, you're probably the brain power of three or four people.
There we go. I like that. No, we do. We can talk trees as long as you want to talk trees.
And we start by talking about a tree of the month. We always highlight a tree. It's not always native, but something that does well in our Arizona climate.
Right. The tree of the month for January is the Chinese elm tree. It's the Ulmus parvifolia. It's not native to this area, but really, really, really well adapted to this area of the country, as many trees are. We have trees from all over the world that do really well here. And this tree in particular is a rock star. Dr. Chris Martin at ASU, he ranked this tree number one of trees that are most adaptable to limited planting areas, namely in traffic roadways,
parking lots.
And limited parking. Yeah, limited planting spaces in parking lots and along roads where you might have a 3 or 4 foot wide planting strip and you want a suitable tree that will be able to survive. It outperformed all the desert trees. And it's just a really bulletproof tree, very few natural enemies, but it's beautiful.
But it's not a small one either.
No, it can grow to be pretty good size, but it's kind of adapts to its planting area, kind of like a fish will adapt to the size of its aquarium. Some trees, if they have limited rooting space, will not really, you know, grow to their full mature size that they would otherwise have grown if they were in a large planting space with unlimited rooting area. So. Yeah, it's a really nice tree. You want me to tell you a little bit more about it?
I do, and we plan on putting a couple of these in on the south side of our lawn. We had ash trees that were originally planted that a couple of goats ate the bark off, and then the trees died the next year, unfortunately. And
I remember that.
We've yet to replace it, and I've kept looking, and we have decided on the Chinese elm for that replacement.
Yeah, you'll like it. You'll like it. And again, they achieve their landscape purpose pretty quickly. They're fast growers. They are deciduous, so they lose their leaves in the winter, which is great for a southern exposure because then in the summer they provide the shade. In the winter they drop their leaves. They let that nice radiant heat in from the south. And, yeah, so great choice for a deciduous tree on the south or west exposure. And, yeah, they're really a nice – what I like about them is their color. They're a dark green leaf contrasting with kind of a light-colored – a jigsaw puzzle, kind of a bark that's exfoliating and it kind of constantly changing, beautiful texture, and they have no thorns. A little bit of a leaf drop in the fall. You know, you'll have some leaves that are scattered around the landscape. So, but overall, just a great performer. And like I said, bulletproof, no natural pests, no natural pathogens, no real serious issues that other trees bring with them.
So
in fact, a lot of other non-native trees tend to bring with them things that are due to their, you know, inability to adapt to our climate. So you have to take that as a caveat for purchasing any non-native is that sometimes they just aren't as adaptable. But this tree is one of those that is so darn adaptable that not a lot to say bad about it.
Now, I'm assuming its origins are back to China. There's the Chinese elms and most citrus came from Asia. Have we ever opened them? If those things do so well there, do things that grow here do well in China? I mean, do we have like a market for selling mesquite trees over to China? That'd be a big market.
Yeah, that's a good question for John Jay next week.
Okay.
No, I really don't know. That's an interesting question. Do some of our trees here, can they be moved across the world? I bet they can, for sure. Why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
So our January, starting off on our to-dos for the tree industry, we've got pruning.
Yeah, this is the best time of year to prune deciduous trees. If you saw our newsletter, Roy Maxey, one of our certified arborists at Integrity Tree Service, answered the question, when is the best time to prune deciduous trees? And one of the reasons they're pruned in the winter is because as they leaf out again in the spring, that new growth is pretty weakly attached. It's very delicate, and you don't want to be pruning the trees right after the leaves start to emerge. You'll break a lot of those little buds and off of the tree as you're pruning. So any time now before the trees put their leaves on is a great time to be pruning all your deciduous trees. That's your ash, your elm, your stone fruits, your pecans, your mulberries. All your trees that lose their leaves in the winter, this is prime time for pruning those.
And in pruning them, what am I looking for? Clear out deadwood, open the canopy. Sometimes they may not even need pruning.
Yeah, well, in that all the above, if they need that. What's nice in the winter when the trees have lost their leaves, you can see the branch architecture. So if there's any structural issues that would otherwise have been covered up by a heavy canopy of leaves, it's a good time to be able to look at those crossing branches, rubbing branches, branches with narrow angles of attachment, and, of course, deadwood. Although, with deadwood, sometimes in the winter when the trees have lost all their leaves, it's hard to tell what branches are dead and which ones are alive. So if you're up there and you're doing a little bit of trimming on those deciduous trees, you can always do the scratch test with your fingernail and kind of scratch the bark and see if it's green underneath. With the elms and other smooth bark trees like mulberry and pistache, it's very thin, light-colored bark, and you can scratch it with your fingernail, and you'll see the green underneath if it's a live branch. If it's not, of course, then it's dead, and you can just trim those back to good wood.
The one I'm working on right now, our mulberry, it's really thick on the interior.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great because it's a great shade tree now, and it's tall enough that you can sit under it in the summertime, but it's also the tree the kids picked that the treehouse is going into. So I'm trying to open up the inside of it a little bit, too, so that we can put a real treehouse in it and not restrict the future growth of the limbs and keeping it from being this magnificent tree. That's a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's good to do that structural pruning soon. The earlier you can do it to establish good branch structure, the less work you're going to have to do later. And it's a lot easier to trim out a half-inch diameter branch now than to wait 4 or 5 years and be working with a 3, 4, 5, 6-inch diameter branch. A lot more difficult for the tree to adjust to that loss of foliage when the tree's older. It has to compartmentalize that injury. And so all those pruning cuts made when the tree's younger is real critical. We call it structural pruning. And with younger trees, that's pretty much all we're concentrating on doing. You don't want to over prune because the tree needs every bit of leaf surface it can to produce the energy reserves it needs to survive and be healthy. So just be taking out the dead wood, removing any structurally. We always talk about crown cleaning as the effort to remove any branches that don't have a future in the tree. So you're taking out the dead wood, the crossing branches, rubbing branches, ones that are going to be actually problematic in the future. And sometimes that's, as you said, that's all you need to do. Once you've done the structural pruning, sometimes that's all the thinning you need to do. You don't want to do any unnecessary thinning. Every time you thin out branches, you're robbing the tree of that photosynthetic material it needs to be healthy. But also you're opening it up to sunburn. Once they get sunburned, then you have wood-boring insects like flat-headed borers coming in. So you want to leave the tree as full as you can, but, of course, light enough with no excessive end weight, no branches that are way extended out too far. So do those little structural pruning cuts early in the life of the tree, and then you can just let it pretty much do its thing for the next few years and not have to be worried about that.
Wonderful. We just I was just going to Tom, and the call just dropped. He was calling in from Marana. He wanted to talk about pruning orange trees. So I thought maybe that was a topic on your list. I was going to let him ask it, but we'll go ahead and just take it. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. He was from Marana, so a little farther south and a little higher in elevation. I know Jay often says, don't waste your time with citrus in Tucson, because you know, if you get a frost every 10 years in Phoenix, you get one about every 7 in Tucson, and it freezes a little harder because it's a little higher in elevation, and it's just not, you know, unless you have a serious microclimate or you've got a great way to keep it frost protected, it's not a great great climate for
citrus. Yeah, and I'm sure there's a lot of people in Tucson that would disagree with that, but only because they have got their citrus way beyond the time when they're really at risk of dying. If trees, you know, your frost-sensitive trees, if you can get them through the first few seasons with some frost protection during those cold spells, then once they're 3 to 5 to 8 years old, they're gonna be okay. They'll freeze back, but the main trunk and main scaffold limbs of the tree will never freeze back deeply to the point that the tree dies. So yeah, don't hesitate to plant citrus in the Tucson area. Just know that you're going to have to be a little more vigilant in those early years to get it beyond that that real critical early phase.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.